Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree. But whatever you do, keep it spicy. Five-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Shout out to my Facebook fam. Shout out to the Twitter fam. And what's up to everybody on Instagram? I don't always get to bring the show to you from Instagram because obviously, if any of you know, Instagram doesn't play well with others. And so you have to have an entirely different feed. So if you're watching me on Instagram, you might notice me look a little bit here. And that's because I'm looking at the camera for all of the other platforms and then over here to Instagram. But I really do appreciate all of you joining me as always. If you have not already, I had a review of the movie Air. It was my first review that I did, my first movie review that I officially have done and put it on my YouTube platform. So if you're looking in the description anywhere but Instagram, you'll see the link for the review. If you're on Instagram, go to my YouTube page at Coach Gene Clemens and check out that review. I wanted to talk a little bit more about that because really the thing that we don't talk enough about in this thing, and it's because many of us don't know, is how vicious this deal was. So I grew up in the Jordan era. Like, Jordan's time in the league is my understanding of basketball, or at least the beginning of my understanding of basketball. I was in Chicago when the Jordan phenomena started, when Jordan came to the Bulls. I was there for championships. And so I know the entire mystique, but I wanted to speak specifically to the shoe deal and what it did for the culture and how it changed and what we don't, what we did not understand, that this movie actually helps us better understand, possibly as to why Michael Jordan conducted himself the way that he conducted himself. See, a lot of us, me included, went along this idea that Jordan was a worker, that Jordan was working for Nike, that Jordan was a pitch man, that Nike was the one that was pulling the strings, and Jordan was just, for lack of a better term, doing what Master says, right? We looked at Jordan because he didn't speak out on anything political, because he tried to stay out of controversy. Because he did all of these things, our thought process is about Jordan was that he wasn't really about us. But then if you ever start a business, you realize that once you have a business, there are certain things that you say and or do that will 100% hurt your business. And as a business owner, you try to avoid those things. Because at the end of the day, for a business, it's not about black or white, it's about green. You have to stay in business. Jay-Z has a famous line that says, "I can't help the poor if I'm one of them, so I got rich and gave back." To me, that's the win-win. And I know my brother, if he watches this, or if he's watching this right now, Shem, I know you will probably disagree with me on some of this stuff, and that's cool. We disagree all the time. It's all right. But the idea of Jordan as a business helps you to better understand why Jordan as a person didn't speak up more. What we learned from the movie and what people subsequently learned but did not know at the time was that it wasn't that Jordan signed the richest deal ever given to a player at the time just from the money that he obtained. but he also got equity. He got equity long before anybody was talking about equity. Shout out to the moms. She did it so cold-blooded. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, but this is all like historical, so I don't really know if it's spoiler alert. This, like, how she did it was so smooth. Had everybody going up and trying to get her son. And once Nike came into the bidding war for her son, everybody was going to have to up their game, even though Nike wasn't known. But the cool thing was is that at the end, after everybody had said what they said and did what they did, she came back in the 11th hour and she came back in the 11th hour and she said, "Oh, this must have just been like a clerical error or something, but my son's going to want a percentage of every shoe sold." What? What? Even right now, right? Even right now, people get apprehensive. Businesses and brands get apprehensive about giving someone a percentage of every item sold. Now, here's why I ultimately think Nike did it. And it's not as glamorous and, oh, we're risk takers. This is what we do. They did it because they had nothing to lose, right? If Jordan did not pan out and he got a percentage of a bunch of shoes that were not sold, what's Nike out of? They're not out of any extra money. If he sells a lot and gets a percentage of every shoe sold, then they still get a lot of money. They just don't get all of the money that they would have received had he not had that percentage. So it's you get a lot of something or zero, or a lot of nothing. A lot of something, a lot of nothing. Would you rather have 85% of something or 100% of nothing? That's what it was for Nike. So it was an easy, you know, they dolled it up for the movie, but it was an easy decision from that standpoint. But this idea of equity and why, as a child, maybe I didn't understand it. Maybe it was said because I was young when Jordan came into the league. I was a baby, not a baby, but I was a youth. I wasn't a teenager or anything like that, not even close. I was a youth. So maybe I didn't understand it. And in the subsequent years, nobody said it. It wasn't until there became like a specific Jordan brand that I understood that Jordan possibly had some equity in this thing. I didn't know that Jordan had equity throughout. So this is where it makes sense at. You guys ever wonder why Jordan never really worried about his contracts early in his career? Like, he signed these contracts that didn't really pay him a lot of money. You ever wonder why he never worried about any of that stuff early on? Like, you ever wonder why he never seemed to talk about his NBA contracts? It never really seemed to be a thing early on, right? I'm going to Spotrac because I want to look at his NBA contracts. So, right, I'm looking at this now, right? Michael Jordan's rookie contract, his yearly salary was $455,000. He had a $100,000 signing bonus, right? That's his first year. His second year, $630,000. His third year, $737,000. His fourth year, $795,000. Now, by year four, he's Jordan. That's 87, 88. He is him. He is the best player in the world. Magic, maybe people still think. Mike, you know, Bird, they're still around. But Jordan is if he's not the best player in the world, he's definitely the most famous already, right? 88, 89, 2 million. 89, 90, 2.25 million. 90, 91, 2.5 million. 91, 92, now we're talking Dream Team Jordan. That's the height of his career, Jordan. 3.25 million. 92, 93, 4 million. 93, 94, 4 million. 94, 95, 3.85 million. 95, 96, 3.85 million. 96, 97, 96, 97, 30 million. That was when he said, okay, I'm getting up here. I've spent 12 years in the league. I have not been paid like the greatest basketball player ever. And so now it's time for me to get bread. And so in 96, 97, he signed a $30 million deal to come back. He was signing one-year deals. 97, 98. A $33 million deal. We're not going to talk about the 2 years at the Wizards because he didn't really take any money because he was getting so much money. He was a part owner. Now, here's the part. Here's the thing. So for those first umpteen years, he doesn't get much money in his entire NBA career. In the 16 seasons that he was in the NBA, he earned less than $100 million, meaning that he earned less than what Jordan, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh made on their deals when they all went to Miami. So just for those 4 years that they made their $90-something million, that's what Jordan made in 16 seasons. So why wasn't he really more concerned about money? He was living an extravagant lifestyle. Why wasn't he concerned with money? Well, it's really simple. It's because his Nike deal was his real money. His basketball money was not his real money. His Nike deal was his real money. And so if you're thinking about it, does he have a loyalty to the Bulls and to the NBA? Thank you, Randisha. Appreciate it. Does he have a responsibility to the NBA or the Bulls? Or does he have a responsibility to his Jordan brand? Does he have a responsibility to his Jordan brand to be whatever his brand needs him to be successful? Right? To be that person, to be that guy, to be that number one, to sell these shoes. Because the difference in what he was making as Michael Jordan, the NBA player, and what he was making as Michael Jordan, the money man, they're night and day. So I went trying to look up like what exactly were the terms of the deal. So it says Nike offered Jordan a 5-year deal worth $500,000 per year. It was a crazy sneaker. It was crazy for a sneaker company to offer that at the time. He was fine. Money for wearing the sneakers because the sneakers did not match the NBA's code, right? In the first year, because again, Jordan was getting a percentage of each shoe sold. So in the first year, it made $126 million. The shoes did. The shoes put Nike on the map. So Nike made way, way more money, right? Because not only did they make the money from Jordans, but then basketball became a Nike thing, and the rest is history. They say as of 2020, Jordan has made $1.3 billion off his Nike deal. So he made $100 million or less than $100 million in his NBA career. But he's made well over, 12 times that in his shoe career? So you can kind of understand why his loyalty was to the business and not to the NBA or to the Bulls. That and what he did there also, by the way, spawned the ability for other players to do the same thing. But a lot of players came after Jordan and did not have equity in the shoe. They did not have a piece of the shoe. And this is the part that I think is interesting. Why was that not more celebrated at the time? Why was it not more championed at the time? You know why? Because nobody wanted us to know. Nobody wanted T-Mac to know that Nike gave Jordan an equity deal. And I don't know if T-Mac has equity in his shoes. I don't know if Penny Hardaway had equity in his shoes. I would love to believe that LeBron has equity in his shoes, but I don't know for sure. And nobody has come out and said it. Nobody has come out and championed the deals. They just talk about the money we see. And that's the interesting part. See, only thing we knew about Jordan was the money that we saw. We saw the money. Hey, look at this shiny $500,000, $250,000, whatever have you. Like, they showed us the money here without telling us about the money back here. And that's where business is, and that's where sports business is. That's what we all lose. When we start talking about the salary cap in the NFL as if these teams are poor, well, you know, somebody's got to pay this, and we're not the owner, so we don't have to pay it. Ladies and gentlemen, the salary cap is but a fraction of the money that the team makes in a year. The salary cap is there, so it gives the owners an excuse not to spend money. But anytime they want to spend more money, they just spend more money. That's why you see them recycle through coach after coach after coach. I remember at one point in time, the Buccaneers were paying three coaches at one time. The Carolina Panthers paid all that money to a coach only to fire him a couple years later and now be on the hook for paying that coach all that money. There is no salary cap in coaching. And there's all of these different ways to manipulate the cap so that if you want to pay people, you can. So it all really just matters on what a team is willing to do or not willing to do. But they always have the cap as an excuse. And we, as the consumer, as the football consumer, that doesn't really understand how this thing works and understand the money behind the money, we just champion what they're doing, and we run their propaganda for them. So this Jordan deal, if it had been broadcast as an equity deal, they even say it in the movie, this is going to change everything. Well, they didn't want it to change everything. You'd think the next people who came and signed with Nike all got equity deals? If they did, they would talk about it in the movie. Yo, such and such and such got an equity deal. Such and such got an equity deal. You think that Ja Morant got an equity deal for his signature shoe that just happens to look like Kyrie Irving's shoe? You think Kyrie Irving had an equity deal? I don't know. I'd be interested to find out. Because usually, once there's a precedent set, everybody that follows does the same thing. Now, it doesn't mean that they could be as successful as Jordan, but that's usually how it goes. Once a quarterback gets $40 million and he's considered to be the best quarterback in the league, nobody who is considered to be the best or the next up is taking less than 40. That's how the business in sports normally works. But nobody talks about that underneath money that you don't see. That money that you don't see. Here's what I'd like to know. How much of that money does David Falk get? Is David Falk, who was the agent for Michael Jordan at the time, does he get a percentage of the percentage of Jordan brand? Because he gets a percentage of the money made from the contract. So did he only get a percentage of the contract? Or did he also get a percentage of the percentage that Jordan got from every shoe? Because that had to be written into the contract. If I'm David Falk, hell yeah. If I'm Jordan, hell no. The business of this thing was so great, but I just love the fact that the matriarch of the family held up Nike at gunpoint and said, you know what it is. And Nike had no other choice but to say, you got it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Do this thing a few times a week. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Hey, shout out to everybody on Instagram that's going to watch this or watch this live or whatever. Make sure y'all come over and subscribe to the podcast. You can find it anywhere that you find your podcast. Apple. You can find it on Google Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. Wherever you get your podcast from, make sure that you get that Talk Spicy episode 325 and go in and look and listen to it if you haven't already. Listen to all the other 324 episodes. Listen to the podcast that I have with Coach Whit LeJure, our Zebra Stripes podcast that's popping off right now. Just dropped a new episode on Monday. And then, obviously, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's how you really can support. I'm trying to run these by summertime. That's going to be a goal. Just throw it out there. 5,000 by summertime. I'm at 3,000 some change right now. Let's get it to 5,000 by summertime. I could use your help if you're not already following me and everything that I do in sports and culture. Make sure you do that there. Until next time, peace.